Let's come to our God in prayer and ask for his blessing now upon his word. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, as we have gathered together for worship, either here or at home in our living rooms, we are thankful that we can be in your presence. And Lord, may this be a day that we do indeed enter your rest. You are our God, and you have made us your people. You are the creator, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Lord, may we bless you and extol you today, whether here in the building or gathered together at home. Lord, may we know that you are our Redeemer, having rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferring us into the kingdom of your beloved Son. Let us rest today in that blessed assurance. Let us also put aside the cares and the concerns of this world, and instead let us concentrate on the things of you with holiness and goodness and truth. And grant that today we would find in you rest for our souls as we look to your word. Bless the reading and proclamation of your word, and bless us with your Holy Spirit. Be with your servant as well, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in our first day of reopening our services, partially at least, I want to turn our attention to Psalm 145. And so I encourage you to turn there now. Psalm 145, a psalm of David. Psalm 145. We'll read the entire psalm, but we'll be focusing our attention on verses 8 to 10. So just make note of that as well, that verses 8 to 10 will be our main focus. Hear now the reading of God's holy word. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. May the Lord bless that to our hearts. And that is the reading, end of the reading of God's holy word. I'll encourage you to have your Bibles open to Psalm 145. Again, the focus of our attention will be upon verses 8 to 10, especially verses 8 and 9, but we'll look at that in context as well. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, God has been good to us. How do you express that to someone, how good the Lord has been toward you? Well, God's word says it's easy for us to recognize his greatness. We look at his works. We look at what he has done. We look at salvation history. We look at how he has cared for us in the present, in his providence. Saints who look at God with eyes of faith cannot help but see him in any other way. Such is the case with King David. Psalm 145 is the last psalm that is attributed to this human author, King David. It's really a momentum praise, a momental psalm praise, or really an alleluia chorus, you could say, of all the ones that David has written. The very last one is really a crescendo. And how fitting for him to write this at the very end as he reflected upon his own life. Certainly verse 3 captures really the theme of this psalm. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. The Holy Spirit, through David, clearly impresses on our hearts that the Lord is worthy of our praise. Even though your English translations don't show it, this psalm is actually an alphabetic psalm. Each verse begins with a Hebrew letter. So it starts with Aleph, then goes to Beth, then Gimel, and so on, right down to Shin and Tav, the very last two letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It's kind of like an ABCs on the theme of the majesty of God. And what a fitting text that is for us as we are coming into this next stage of reopening our services and praise to the Lord. The songwriter wants us to be amazed at God's greatness and goodness. He wants us to be astonished at his splendor and his majesty. He wants us to meditate on his works and see how powerful his grace and mercy are to us. Really, that's what worship is. It's nothing else but rendering to God the honor that is due to him in his holiness. That's why David praised him, and that's why we must praise him as well. In particular, these verses, verses 8 to 10, the focus is on celebrating God's compassion and his goodness. And so hear God's word under that theme, Lord, we praise your name, and then with those 2 points, firstly, for your compassion, and secondly, for your goodness. So he praises God first for his compassion. We see that in verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. This is almost a direct quote from Exodus chapter 34, a time when God's people had just received the Ten Commandments that we read this morning. When Moses was up in the mountain with the Lord, God had chiseled out those commands by his own finger into 2 tablets of stone and had given them to Moses to take down to the people. But Israel, the children of Israel, had become impatient. They had made a golden calf. They were punished with the plague. And 3,000 were struck down by the sword. Moses was really discouraged that people fell into the sin only days after receiving the law. He wasn't sure anymore if he could continue. He wasn't sure if he could remain with the people to bless them and guide them. And so in desperation, Moses cried out, "Lord, show me your glory." God, as you may remember, hid him in the cleft of the rock, and he passed by, not allowing him to actually see himself, but declaring these words. Exodus 34, verse 6, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant, in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. That revelation that God was compassionate and merciful was the revelation of his glory. This was to show the people that he was still compassionate, that he still was gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Now that's quite a revelation because the people had just sinned. They had grievously sinned. They had forsaken God. They had gone back to the paganism of Egypt. That's what they wanted. And showing his mercy in the midst of sin, God was displaying his greatness. He's steadfast and loyal to his people. His compassion and his mercy are so great on those who call upon his name. And how fitting it is to remember that. For us who are born in condemnation and sin, what a hope we've been given here. The word here for mercy in the Hebrew is the word chesed. It's the word chesed, which means God's covenant faithfulness. It's God's covenant faithfulness, his faithfulness to his covenant people. He by no means excuses sin. He doesn't tolerate it. He punishes it. But he, in his kindness and goodness, pardons the iniquity of his saints. He was willing to give up the punishment of Sodom and Gomorrah for the sake of 10 righteous people. Time after time during the wilderness journey, the people of Israel showed themselves to be stiff-necked, stubborn people. Think of the golden calf, the murmuring at the, you know, there wasn't enough water and there wasn't enough food. The rebellion after the report of the spies, the jealous whispers against Moses. All of these things happened, and yet God was willing to forgive those who repented and believed in him. He forgave wicked Nineveh, the enemy of the Hebrews, when the people and the king of that city repented. And that's again where we see these words, this phraseology from verse 8 repeated in Scripture. It's a repetition. If you look through all these different passages, you'll see this phraseology throughout history. He does this for you and for me because of his Son, Jesus Christ. He's proved himself to be compassionate by giving us his own Son. Even though we did not love him, as we read this morning from Romans chapter 5, even though we didn't love him, though we were at one time enemies of God, he gave his Son. We see his goodness in the face of man's wickedness. And so this psalm explains to us that The people of praise, those who praise God, are people who remember. They remember the past deliverances. They look back at history. They remember the God they serve. They proclaim His great deeds. You see that even within these words here, verses 4 and following. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts and will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. You see, people who praise God remember and tell. They remember what God does for them at all times. And that's especially true now. You know, just take your mind back to the beginning of March, before this pandemic affected everything and the lockdown started. Before that, everything seemed fairly smooth sailing. There wasn't anything that was really alarming in the way that 2020 began. There didn't seem to be any major disturbances. And then everything changed so suddenly. We had to readjust and refocus. Many of us had never even heard of the terms of social distancing and self-isolation. This was all new. But all of a sudden, this wave hit society, and we had to make changes in our work habits, in our places of employment. In some cases, our work was, and still is, confined to our homes. We had to do things differently with our education. Classrooms had to be closed. Boys and girls, you had to do school from home. And I hear that you're going to be finishing soon. I'm sure you're glad about that. Our worship had to change. We had to cancel our worship services and watch almost all of us had to watch it from home. Our shopping trips had to change with all the lineups and one-way signs. And we hear terms like unprecedented and the new normal. And we wonder, how long is this going to keep on going? What is the future holding for us? What's ahead of us? Well, most of us are controlled by the immediate. We live in the present. We live in the moment. Even when lives are still busy, when life is full and we have little time to breathe, we're very much creatures of the right now. But if we desire to live a life of praise, we have to remember. We have to remember our history. We have to retell it. If we want to have the right perspective, we have to be marked with moments that remind us that God is still at work, still today. The psalmist calls us back to the task of remembering God in His works. We do so not to be nostalgic and to remember the good old days, when the things were great. We're not simply to wish that we could go back, turn back our clocks, and wish that it could be the way that it used to be. We're not to wax on about returning to those days. Rather, we're to remember what God has done for us in the past. Even this just this past week. Or the week before that. Or the month before that. We remember those moments so that we'll be reminded of our hope. And that we may be given hope for the future in our moments of weakness, in our moments of powerlessness, fear or dread, when it seemed as though the power of the present held sway. We remember and confess that God is king, that He is enthroned, that He is in control. In our moments of brokenness or waywardness, in our moments of complaining and disillusionment, in our moments of anger and disbelief, in our moments of despair and stress, the Lord has been there for us. He's loyal. He's loyal to his people. He's fiercely loyal in his compassion. And in those times, our voices can join with the voice of the psalmist and say, the Lord is near. Has that not been the case for you personally, going through this time? Have you not seen that? Have you not known that God has been compassionate to you? Yeah, through this lockdown, we can say that the Lord does know our concerns. At times when you're lonely, look to Him. When you're trying to take all the burdens on your own shoulder, turn to Him in prayer and speak to Him about your concerns. Know that the Lord is on your side. He will not allow you to be shaken. It's a small thing for Him to assist you. And give Him the praise today. First of all, for His compassion, especially in Jesus Christ. So that's what we see here, first of all. We move on to see, secondly, praise here for His goodness. Verse 9 brings that out. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Not only does He forgive sins, but He's also good to all of His creation. He still is that way. He brings the rain on the just and the unjust. He brings out the sun on those who are wicked and those who are righteous. He makes the sun to rise. Now think for a moment of that, of his goodness. He made a covenant with the day and a covenant with the night. You know, we get up in the morning and we sometimes forget that God is the one who is sustaining all His works, all His creation. How often we take that for granted. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. Think of also what God has made, all the works of His fingers, the vastness of the planets and the stars, and yet earth is the only planet that He has made that can sustain life, animal life and human life. And God made this earth for us to live in so that we can be rulers of His perfect creation. You can't help but be very thankful that God shows His goodness to all His creatures. The psalmist says, "What is man that you're mindful of him? That the Son of Man, that you take care of him?" Consider the variety of the ways that God provides for every creature that He has made. He has made plants for every kind of animal. Think of all the animals that are on the earth. Have you ever thought about how many heads of cattle there are on the face of the earth and how the Lord feeds them? There's not a major shortage of food within the world. I know the birds of the mountain, says the Lord, and the wild beasts of the forest are mine. He knows them. And He provides for them. Think of all these things that God does for all His works, and then think of what He has done for you. He's given you life. You have breath. Every breath is from the Lord. He's given you a living soul. If you believe in Christ, you have a redeemed soul in Christ. He's given you family. He's given you homes. How often we take those things for granted. The blessing of life itself and for the way that He sustains our lives, even when it's difficult. When you're single or when you're a widower or a widow, to be alone without a spouse, without the one who you've spent most of your life, it's very painful and leads to great heartache. But even there, the Lord is good. The Lord does provide. He's with you. His word is very clear that he has a great concern for the widows and the fatherless. He always has. Proverbs 15, verse 25 says, "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow." And he still does that today. As members of Christ, as people of faith, you are a clear example of his compassion and his goodness. Truly, we can be amazed at God's grace. And we see that listed here within this psalm. Verse 14, he helps those who are inadequate. Verse 14 says, "The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. He gives food to all his creatures." Verse 15, "The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season." God opens up his hand and he satisfies the desire of those who look to him in prayer as well. "The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to those who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth." And he protects as well. Verse 20, "The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy." How does God demonstrate his faithfulness? He does it by fulfilling his promises, and by caring for his own creatures. When we fall, he lifts us up. When our sins overwhelm us, when Satan seeks to carry us away, when our enemies oppress us, God is there to support us. He doesn't promise to keep us from evil days, but he does promise to keep us in evil days. When we're in distress, he restores us. When we're hungry, he feeds us. When we come to him with open hands and empty and held out, he satisfies us with good things. He does this for human beings, of course, for everyone. But what the psalmist seems to be thinking of here most of all is God's faithfulness to the entire universe. To everything. It's for that reason that the psalmist also says, "All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you." It's true that every creature has been made for his glory. Haven't we seen that to be the case? You know, if we've taken the time during this period of isolation, maybe even just being able to go outside and see things that we never really noticed before. And we can say, yes, God indeed is good. Brothers and sisters, are you praising and blessing your God and Savior? Do you meditate on the goodness of your God? Are you daily praising him in worship? Through prayer, through a life kept pure from the world and from sin? Has the glory of your majestic King Jesus Christ moved you to praise his name for his unsearchable greatness? Can you say that you know the great mercy of the Lord, that he has shown his loving kindness to you by taking away your sin? It's only through Jesus Christ that you can be made new and perfect. And your praises toward him will not just be today. They won't just be now. We can look up and we know that God is preserving us for eternity. There will be a continuous praise forever and ever of Jesus Christ. It's impossible to praise the Lord without meditating on God's wondrous works. We ourselves haven't witnessed the great miracles and the wonders that God performed in the past. You know, we weren't there to watch the Red Sea crossing or to witness Christ performing the miracles that he did, as we've been looking at in the Gospel of Luke and the wonderful stories that are there. We weren't there, but we can read them and we can know that they're true, that the same God who brought Israel out on the dry ground over the Red Sea, through the Red Sea rather, looks after us in the ordinary and everyday things of life by making sure that we've got enough money to pay our bills, or helping us through surgery, or providing us with a job. God is at work on our behalf, carrying out his plans for us, and we can praise him for his works. It's true that every creature has been made to bring praise to the Lord. The skill, kindness, and power which we see in the formation of each living thing is in itself a praise to God. Let us therefore, with every generation of God's church, recount God's goodness and remember how awesome he is. Let us utter the memory of God's great compassion in thanks to Jesus Christ, who has taken away our sins. Lord, we do praise your name. Lord, we give you the praise that you are due. Amen. Shall we come to our God in prayer? Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for your grace and compassion, for your goodness overall. Thank you for preserving us and for blessing us this day, that we would be able to partially gather together in the assembly of the saints. We pray for us, Lord, wherever we are today, that you will help us to meditate on your great works, that we would be a people who remember and recall, who know history and can see your goodness even in this past week and in the weeks that have gone by during this pandemic. Lord, how you have provided for us. And Lord, give us hope for the future. We don't know exactly what will come. We live in strange times, but we can rest in you and know that your saints will be preserved throughout the generations. Your church will not perish, and we can look forward to that day when Christ comes again. Hear our prayer. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.